When Jesus had lifted up his eyes, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The eyes, of course, convey information to us, but also about us. Anger, say, or admiration, boredom, joy. It's all in the eyes. We must keep them, these eyes of ours, under control, though, lest they betray us and bring in distractions and worse. The celebrant at Mass, in general, keeps his eyes cast down or on the book for his own recollection and for the edification of the congregation. When he turns to the people, the priest may not look at them. It's exactly the opposite in the Novus Ordo. But at certain parts of the Mass, the priest is directed to imitate our Lord, who sometimes raised his eyes to heaven to underline a prayer of offering or of thanks or of petition. So the celebrant looks up at the cross as he offers the chalice, or just before he bows low for the Te Igitur to begin the canon, and especially before the consecration. And then again at the elevation, he looks up at the Blessed Sacrament he has just consecrated. But in today's gospel, Jesus lifts his eyes and sees the crowd, that they had nothing to eat. Now, note, no one complained to Christ of hunger. If they followed our Lord, they were hungry for the bread of life, not for 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fishes. But still, man is a creature composed of body and of soul. And the Master knew it was getting towards dinner time, and he moves to meet their necessities before they ask. Is it not often so? The first move, the first stirring of grace, must come from God. And how often he hears us and sees to our needs before we speak or even get around to praying for something, it's given us. Other times, he strikes the spark, and we need only ask to whisper, a little wind to blow it into flame, and it is ours. In the Mass, Christ asks. That's the prayer of petition. He asks with us and for us. The Sacred Heart Saint, the Blessed Claude La Colombière, said, however vast my desires may be, however great my hopes, there's no problem in asking an answer for them all. I even believe it would wrong the living victim to ask so much less than it is worth. As we've seen, it was St. Patrick's Day the other Sunday when we talked of Thanksgiving. There's a paradox here. One of God's gifts is the perfect means by which we thank him for all of his gifts. I shall say Mass every day, that young Jesuit, Blessed Claude, resolved. This is my only resource. The final, the fourth goal or purpose of the Mass is petition. Sometimes it's called the stepchild, the gimme part of our prayers. And yet, it's the first thing we think of, not the last, when we come to pray. It is to ask, and that's often just why we do. And Christ does not ask us to ask. He insists. Ask, he says. Seek. Knock, he insists. And this not once, but repeatedly. Asking comes natural to most people, doesn't it? As it does for children. We're Christians, after all, children of our Father, who would have it so. We should not be ashamed to ask and sometimes to beg. The habit of asking, get into that again if you've gotten out of it. If you're one of those rugged individualists, or if you're shy, don't want to say anything, or proud, I don't need anybody's help. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, when we start to pray, and even at times to beg, it helps us realize just how inadequate we are. Left to our own devices. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself religion. It is a cooperative venture, God and man united in Christ, the God-man. But always that first move, which comes where? From the first mover, which strikes a spark so improbably from the hard flint of the human heart. We prodigals, wrote Pius XII, we've wasted the substance of our Heavenly Father. And like the gospel crowd today, we feel the first stirrings of hunger. More. Our eyes tell the tale of our want. How low we've fallen, our degradation. But from the height of the cross, look up, O Christian. Christ, St. Paul writes to the Hebrews, Christ with piercing cry and tears offers prayer and entreaty with such loving devotion as wins him a hearing. And this is the scene at the altar, the same efficacious mediation, the Pope again, to fill us with every blessing and grace. The Mass, the death of Christ, his life, all 33 years of pleasing his Father is placed on the paten and poured into the chalice. He gives us at Mass, he lays before his Father the greatest gift possible. It is so great in dignity and power as to equal the Father himself. This is the reason why the prayer part, technically impetration, is so powerful, why it can obtain for us every possible favor. Every word our Savior spoke, every act of obedience he performed, his every breath, the beating of his sacred heart, the drops of his blood, the pain which pierced him, innocent flesh and spirit. All of that make up an eloquent and irresistible argument to plead our cause before the throne and to obtain our petitions. Look, if the holy name of Jesus be so powerful, and it is, what are we to say of the sacrifice of God's own Son put into our hands, placed on the altar daily? Again, the Sacred Heart Saint, Blessed Claude, wrote, when I pray or do penance or give alms, it's me, and I'm wondering, is my intention pure? But when I say or assist at Mass, I am full of confidence and I challenge the saints to offer something more pleasing. My sins don't daunt me, nor do I doubt, Lord, you will grant me my heart's desire. I pray without hesitation for it all. Surely, all that we can desire, all that we stand in need of, will be given us, more than we could dream or dare ask for, is already packed and waiting for our prayer at some heavenly Amazon wish fulfillment warehouse. And our name is on the package. We just have to place the order by means of asking. The Mass is the most useful thing we possess. Never undervalue it, O Catholic. Today, strain to hear the celebrant as he turns around, his eyes cast down, and tells those about the altar, "Orate, fratres." Pray, brethren. And then say with the server, "May it be for the praise and glory of his name, for our utility, utilitatem quoque nostram totiusque ecclesiae suae sanctae." May it be for our usefulness, our need, and for that of all his holy church. Catholics don't go to church to hear a man ad lib prayers. That's the Puritans did, and it's a Protestant trick still today, and then the Novus Ordo picked it up. But it's not about men or moods or feelings or opinions. Once the celebrant leaves the pulpit to go back to the altar, the priest follows the missal exactly, for it is the prayer of Jesus Christ. But you are free. You're not obliged to follow any set form of prayer. You may pour out your soul before God today in the beautiful old prayers of your missal, or with sincere sighs and cries, or simply sometimes in silence. We go to church not to hear a man or that lady with the microphone and the giant magnified electronic voice to tell you how you're supposed to sing. No, no. We go to take part in the sacrifice. And there is around the altar the most perfect liberty, the most personal and profound participation. All of us in deep reverence and in Catholic unity. The Mass, our Mass, you must love it. If ever there is a time when prayers are heard, it is at Mass. It is the time of grace. What a gift it is to do this, our bounden duty, which bridges the distance between Creator and creature and opens heaven and showers favors. Lift up your eyes, you who are here today to be fed. See the crucifix, and then behold the cherubim. They'll come in at the preface. Look at them. They're all covered with eyes, Ezekiel says. For God sees everything, every need. And at Mass, he answers every prayer. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.